Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at Blog Talk Radio. .com/PGAN, that's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, and you can send questions to the show at Twitter, and that's GoForItGAN. Make sure you send questions to the show at GoForItGAN, that's at twitter.com. Expected to be joined by today actor Carlos Ramirez, and Carlos, if you don't know, the twin brother of Efren Ramirez of Napoleon Dynamite fame. And so Carlos is going to be joining us, and he will be joining us in the 10 o'clock hour. And before that, we're just going to talk a lot of sports and, of course, have a lot of fun doing it like we always do at this time. And you can't talk sports without talking about what's going on in the NFL right now. A mad dash. It's just a mad dash right now in the NFL. And it's crazy. I mean, you got all these different deals, all these different signings, and it's exciting. And I wrote this on my Twitter page the other night, and, you know, obviously you don't want to see lockouts all the time, and you don't want to see lockouts every year, but goodness gracious, how exciting this whole thing is. We need to have a lockout every year. We need to have a lockout every year. I mean, goodness gracious, you look at it, all these moves, you just have to be watching various sports network shows and various news and look at the ticker and see who signed here, who signed there, who signed anywhere. I mean, these moves are coming left. These moves are coming right. I mean, these moves are just coming. And it's crazy. I mean, you have moves like, just like, well, we'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that's been very, very busy in this offseason. I mean, many at this point, you sign Nnamdi, the big free agent signing, Ndamukong Suh, the cornerback from the Oakland Raiders, big signing. Everybody wanted him. He was the big chip here in this free agency. And the Philadelphia Eagles got him. You signed Ndamukong, you signed Colin Jenkins, you get your trade for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, you signed Ronnie Brown. I mean, you bring in tackle Ryan Harris. I mean, you bring in a whole bunch of people. You bring in Jason Babin to solidify your defense. I mean, you bring in all these different people. And it was moves that came left. It was moves that came right. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles have been the busiest team in this free agency. You signed V.Y., Vince Young. They've been very busy. And in being so busy, guess what? They have dubbed themselves the Dream Team. They're the Dream Team now. And I want to caution Philadelphia Eagles fans. The last team, and this was in a different sport, that talked Dream Team, that talked not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven championships. The last team that was celebrating in July was the Miami Heat. And they didn't make it to the finals. But they bowed out in the finals and lost in the finals to the Dallas Mavericks. But guess what? They were a team that was pushing and talking, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. They were talking all this championship talk. They were celebrating like it was 1999, celebrating like they already won the championship. And this was even before the ball was rolled back. This was even before the ball was rolled out. So I want to caution Philadelphia Eagles fans at this point. Yes, Nnamdi is great. Yes, Cullen Jenkins is great. Yes, Vince Young is great. Yes, Jason Babin is great. Yes, all these people are great. But their linebackers, there's some question marks there. Offensive line, some question marks there. So there's still some question marks here with this Philadelphia Eagle team. Yes, it's looking good with the signing of Nnamdi. Yes, it's looking good with the signing of all these guys. It's looking great, actually. It's not looking good. It's looking great. It's looking very good. It's looking good. But guess what? We're in August now. And when they were talking Dream Team, we were in July. But we're only in August. No games have been played to this point. Not even a preseason ball game. So guess what? At this point, it's just talk. And we all know what talk is. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. And that's all it is right now, is just talk. And right now the Eagles are talking. They're excited. I mean, they're definitely excited. The fans in Philadelphia are excited. Everybody's excited. If you're a Philadelphia fan, you're excited. You're definitely excited if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan. A lot of promise, a lot of potential with this Philadelphia Eagles ball club. And then you look at it, you had Rob Ryan talking about this dream team, if you will, the other day, talking a little smack, and him and Cullen Jenkins Cullen Jenkins going back with him on Twitter. But you have Rob Ryan saying, you know, he's talking about the Eagles, and he said on Monday, here's his quote, "I don't know if we win the all-hype team," Ryan said. "That might have gone to someone else. But we're going to beat their butts when we play them." Those are the words from Rob Ryan, defensive coordinator for the hated Dallas Cowboys, if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and vice versa. And so that's talking, obviously, about the Philadelphia Eagles. And then Cullen Jenkins responds on Twitter Saturday, "Talk is cheap. Let them talk. We are focused here. I could care less. We are worried about ourselves and getting better. He must be nervous." Those are the words of Cullen Jenkins, the newly signed Cullen Jenkins, and one of the newest members of the Philadelphia Eagles. Those were Cullen Jenkins' words. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, and it's kind of funny and ironic, if you will. I mean, you look at it back in the days, late 80s, early 90s, you have Rob Ryan and Rex Ryan's dad, Buddy, going at the Cowboys, talking trash about the Cowboys. You had all that going on. You had that going on, and it's funny now. It's the other way around. Buddy Ryan hated the Dallas Cowboys. Now it's the other way around. Rob Ryan's on the Cowboys team now as the defensive coordinator, and he's talking trash and talking smack to the Philadelphia Eagles, a team Rob and Rex probably all hated the Cowboys growing up. They probably all hated the Cowboys growing up. Now, ironically enough, these boys are now coaching. You got Rob now coaching with the Dallas Cowboys now. Ironically enough, and who would ever thought that? But anyway, you look at this situation, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and you look at all this trash talk going back and forth now. But I want to go to the Philadelphia Eagles, and to me, with all these additions, Jenkins, Austin Rock, Rogers Cromartie, Babin, Brown, Ronnie Brown, with all these additions, the pressure, I think, squarely goes on Andy Reid, but more so, I think, it goes on Michael Vick. I mean, Michael Vick, he came out of nowhere last year, had a sensational season, out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere. Michael Vick came out of nowhere. If you would have thought that Michael Vick would have had the season that he had, I would have told you were lying. You were flat out lying. You were flat out lying. Lying. I tell you, lying. But anyway, Michael Vick had a big time season. He had a big-time season. He had a big-time season out of nowhere. Now, the question becomes is, can Mike Vick continue with this success? Can Mike Vick continue to play this way? Can he continue to be the Mike Vick that we saw last season? Can he continue to be that guy? Will he be that guy? That's a matter of time. We'll have to see with that one. But can he be that guy? That guy who put up big-time numbers. That guy who was do-it-all, running, passing. He did it all. He did it all. Michael Vick was a flat-out beast last season. But you look at Michael Vick, I mean, he took a beating last year. He took a beating last year for the Philadelphia Eagles. He took a beating. Took a beating. Took a big-time beating last season. Took a beating. And hopefully, if you're an Eagles fan, that offensive line is better. Because you can't expect Michael Vick to take that type of beating. He's going to take a beating when it comes to rolling out of pocket, and when it comes to him being Michael Vick and doing what Michael Vick has done throughout his illustrious career to this point. And the reality is this about Michael Vick, and a lot of people tend to forget this, but Michael Vick was a big-time starter with the Atlanta Falcons. He led that team to the playoffs on two occasions. And this was a guy who admittedly was a guy last in, first out type of guy. He was a last-in, first-out type of guy, admittedly. And so he did that basically on pure talent. He got his team, the Atlanta Falcons, to the playoffs on pure talent. He got them to the NFC title game on pure talent. Now, with the Philadelphia Eagles last season, Michael Vick, he turned into a polished quarterback. He became a quarterback last season. And in doing so, he led his team very far. Well, at least to the playoffs, and a place that many did not expect the Philadelphia Eagles to be when the season started. So Michael Vick did that. He changed the fortunes of the franchise. He is the reason that Kevin Cobb is in Arizona now. He is that reason. He is the sole reason that Kevin Cobb is in Arizona right now. And I look at that, and I want to switch gears now, and I look at that Kevin Cobb trade, and I talked about it a little bit. It wasn't confirmed when I talked about it last week. It is confirmed now. There were reports that it was going to be $30 million, but it's closer to $22 million. 5 years, $63 million, $22 million, $22, which is guaranteed. So that's big-time money for Kevin Cobb. It's a lot of money for Kevin Cobb. And last week, I called the Cardinals stupid for what they gave up for Kevin Cobb. They gave up a lot to me. I mean, they gave up a lot. A second rounder, Dominique Rogers Cromartie. That's a lot. And $21 million guaranteed. $21 million in guarantees. That's a lot of money for a guy who's 3-4 as a starter. That's a lot of money for a guy, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That's a lot of money for Kevin Cobb, a guy who has proven and who has shown ability. That's it. Shown that he can play the position, showed us that he had some skills, but he hasn't shown us what he really is. I don't know. Anybody that says they know who he is lying. I don't know who he is. And the Cardinals apparently know what he is, and they paid him like they knew who he was and what he's going to be. And I guess they believe that he's going to be a star, a stud, and a guy that's going to change the fortunes of their franchise. Does it equal automatic playoff berth for the Arizona Cardinals? I say no. Can it? Yes, they are in the NFC West. It is weak, a weak division. The team won it last year. It was the St. Louis Rams. And guess not the St. Louis Rams, excuse me, Seattle Seahawks. And guess what the Seattle Seahawks record was? 7-9. they were 7-9. They were a 7-9 team. 7-9. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. 7-9, sub-500 ball club. A sub-500 ball club. That's what they were. And that's what they were, and that's what they are going into the season. But now, you look at Seattle, they're weakened. I mean, you can't tell me that Tavares Jackson is an upgrade over Matt Hasselbeck at this stage of their careers. You can't tell me that. Or Charlie Whitehurst. You can't tell me those guys are a step above Matt Hasselbeck. You can't. Those guys are a step down, in my opinion. Those guys are not better than Tavares Jackson. So you take a step back in the quarterback position. So you can't tell me they're better. St. Louis Rams, maybe they're better. Sam Bradford's a year older, hopefully a year better. But you got to remember, he missed OTAs this year. Everybody's missed OTAs, missed mini camps. So he's missed a lot of things, and he missed a lot of opportunity for growth. Those are missed. Can't get around it. Those are missed. He missed them. So does he get up to a slow start? Does that hurt him and getting it done? You have San Francisco 49ers, new coach Jim Harbaugh. You say new coach, and automatically you think this team might get off to a slow start because of a new coach, because they have to learn a new system. This could automatically be a slow start here. And then you still have a quarterback in Alex Smith who has proven to this point that we don't really know what he is, but at this point he hasn't shown us to be good. He hasn't shown that he was good. He hasn't shown that he's very good. Shown some decent passes, shown some decent ability, but that's it. Showed some ability, but at the end of the day, is more likely an average quarterback. So you have that situation in San Francisco. So you look at it in Arizona. As much as I don't believe in Kevin Cobb, there's always that possibility. I mean, again, 7-9 is all it took. All it took to win that division. That's it. 7-9. 7-9. That's it. 7 wins was all it took to get to the playoffs and win that division. That's it. Not a lot, obviously. So there, that division is for the taking. That division is for the taking. And can Kevin Cobb and the Arizona Cardinals, can they take it? Can they take it? And the last time the Arizona Cardinals had a good quarterback, and that was Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner led that team to the Super Bowl, a place that no one thought in their right mind the Arizona Cardinals would go to. Who would ever expect the Arizona Cardinals to be in the Super Bowl? I don't think anybody ever thought that. I don't think anybody's ever thought that. The Arizona Cardinals in the Super Bowl. Kurt Warner did it. So will Kevin Cobb do it? Is Kevin Cobb a Super Bowl quarterback? I don't think so. I don't think so. He might not even be a playoff quarterback when it's all said and done. Again, ability, he has shown some ability. He has shown potential. But will that equal 5 years, $63 million, 22, which is guaranteed? Will that equal that? Will that equal that? And then that should be an interesting thing, and that should be something we should look at going forward. Will it equal all that? I'm not sure. But you pay a guy that kind of money, you're expecting a heavy return and a huge return. And I think a huge return would be at least the playoffs. I mean, that would be a heavy return in my mind. And I'm not sure Kevin Cobb is that guy. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. I haven't seen enough. I saw a guy who threw some interceptions. I saw a guy who was a little erratic at times. I saw a guy who held on to the ball a little longer than he probably should have. I saw those things with Kevin Cobb. That's what I saw. But at this point, again, he is a year older and possibly a year better. And this is his opportunity. I mean, he had an opportunity in Philadelphia. He got hurt. Michael Vick came in. Rest is history. But he has an opportunity. He has an opportunity, but will it be enough? Will it be enough? Will it be enough to get it done in Arizona? And I want to talk about another team. I want to go to the AFC West, and I want to talk about the Denver Broncos and their quarterback situation. Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton, many expected Kyle Orton to be traded to the Miami Dolphins. Excuse me, it didn't happen. I mean, all signs pointed to it, but it didn't happen. It did not happen, and that many expected it. And a lot of people in off season, there was talk that the keys were handed to Tim Tebow. The keys of the franchise was handed to Tim Tebow. That was the talk. And I said in here last week, I had a lot of questions about Tim Tebow. I mean, you know, he's a guy who's tough. He's a guy who can lead. All that's good. All that sounds good. But what's the good of tough and leadership ability if you can't play? If you can't play. I mean, all that stuff is great. All that stuff is grand, actually. It's awesome. It's all those things. But what good is intangibles if you don't have the tangible skills? What good is all the intangibles if you can't play in this league? I don't think Tim Tebow is an NFL quarterback. I think Tim Tebow is a wildcat quarterback. That's what Tim Tebow is. And I think that's all. He could be a very good backup in this league. But if you're giving the keys to your franchise to Tim Tebow, you must be trying to sell tickets, because I think that's all Tim Tebow can do for you as a quarterback. That's all I think Tim Tebow can do as a quarterback. It's sell tickets. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. And actually, you had a funny thing. Merrill Hodge of ESPN, former NFL fullback, played for the Steelers for many years. And Merrill Hodge, and looking at some of the film with Tim Tebow, he was not impressed at what he saw. According to Hodge, he saw a guy that in Tim Tebow that, you know, was a little inaccurate. That, you know, he saw a guy in Tebow that he did not believe was a starting NFL quarterback. He actually called his accuracy awful. He called Tim Tebow's accuracy awful. Awful. Merrill Hodge called Tim Tebow's accuracy awful. I mean, great, great big-time arm strength, but awful. And, you know, Hodge also went on to say that Tim Tebow has the skill set of a player drafted in the sixth or seventh round. And mind you, Tim Tebow went in the first round, 25th overall, back in 2010. He went 25th in 2010. And I look at this situation with Tim Tebow, and you know, again, I love all the intangibles, but I just cannot say that Tim Tebow, I can't say, as much as I would want him to be, because he is and seems like such a great guy, as much as I would want him to be a top-flight starting NFL quarterback, I just can't see it. And at this point, Kyle Orton seems to be the starter and is taking all the reps as a starter. And there's even talk that Tim Tebow could even lose the backup job to Brady Quinn. So when it's all said and done, Tim Tebow could be the third quarterback. And that, you know, it was funny when I heard all the talk of Tim Tebow possibly being the starting quarterback in the Denver Broncos, handing the keys of the franchise to this guy. When I first heard that, I was alarmed. I was alarmed, and I was thinking, where the heck did this come from? What are they seeing? And then John Elway, you know, he's a guy who was a very great quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks ever played this game, arguably the best quarterback to play this game. So I theoretically, you would think the man knows quarterbacks. But when you look at this, when I heard that John Elway was saying that Tim Tebow was going to be the starter and there are all signs reporting to Tim Tebow as a starter, I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? What's John smoking? What's John drinking? Both of these Johns, John Fox and John Elway, what are these guys drinking? And what are they drinking? Let me have a sip of it. Because, you know, these guys were just talking out of their minds, in my mind, and thinking that Tim Tebow would be an NFL quarterback, a starting NFL quarterback. And Hodge also compared this, and talking about his accuracy and talking about whether or not Tim Tebow is ready to start in this league, Merrill Hodge equated it to a Clydesdale running in the Kentucky Derby. He just does flat out does not believe in this guy. And if you're a teammate of Tim Tebow and teammate of Kyle Orton, I think you would have to say that if you're, especially if you're a veteran, if you want to win now, winning now to me would mean having Kyle Orton as your starting quarterback. No doubt about it. If you want to win now, if you want to win tomorrow, if you want to win in September, to me, in order for that to happen, in order for that to go, in order for that to happen, you have to, in my mind, go with Kyle Orton. 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Put up some decent numbers last year for the Denver Broncos. And, again, Tim Tebow, in my mind, it's a great story. It's a hell of a story. It's a big-time story. And you talk about Tim Tebow, you're going to talk about, wow, what this guy has done off the field and how he seems to be a leader and has those leadership-type skills. But you look at that, you see all that, and you're kind of rooting for the guy. But sometimes in our life, you know, you got to take off the Tim Tebow underwear. You got to take off the Tim Tebow T-shirt. You got to take off the Tim Tebow socks, and you got to think rationally. And a rational thinker, in my mind, would say that, you know, Tim Tebow is just not a guy. It's just not a guy who can lead your franchise. He's just not that guy. He's just not that guy. Now, again, will he sell some jerseys? Yeah, he sold a lot of jerseys, and probably will keep selling jerseys. Will he put some seats or some fans in the seats? Maybe, definitely. With you know all the things that come with Tim Tebow and all the things, you know, being Tim Tebow, all these things that come with him. Yes, he will do that for you, but if you're about winning football games and ultimately making it to the playoffs and ultimately making it to the Super Bowl, you cannot tell me. And I'm not even sure Kyle Orton is that guy. But I know somebody who is not that guy, and that's Tim Tebow. And some say he could turn into that, but I have my doubts. I really do have my doubts. And when you see Tim Tebow going 25th in the first round, you got to say to yourself, what is going on and what is being smoked by Josh McDaniels? Well, what's being smoked by this guy? I mean, come on, Tim Tebow that high, first rounder for a guy that, you know, at Florida really didn't show the potential of a quarterback. He showed the ability to win on the college level, but winning on the college level is totally different than winning on the NFL level. Totally different, two different animals. Can't compare the two. It's like comparing an apple to an orange, a banana to a peach. That's exactly what it is. These things cannot be compared. It can't be compared. It can't be. You can't compare the two. There's no comparison. But I just think right now, if it's all about winning and winning right now for the Denver Broncos, John Fox has to do what he has to do. And one thing the NFL stands for, that's not for long. And, you know, let's say John Fox trots out Tim Tebow next year, and you're talking about 4-12, maybe a 5-11 season. You know, that's not a good situation for John Fox. And we don't know what kind of leash John Fox is on. Granted, this is his first year in Denver. But again, stands for not for long. The NFL stands not for long. And we'll see. We'll see. But I look at it, and I think when it's all said and done, the right move and the right thing to do, it seems like it's going on, is for the Denver Broncos to start Kyle Orton in September in the preseason and beyond. That's the guy I think the Denver Broncos need to go with. You cannot trot out Tim Tebow as your starting quarterback. He is just not that guy, in my opinion. He's just not that guy, in my opinion. Just not. Just not that guy. Just not. And, you know, he's getting it done, Kyle Orton, up to this point in practice, and thoroughly has outplayed Tim Tebow, according to all reports. And Brandon Lloyd had some interesting quotes. It's the Tebow thing, Brandon Lloyd said. They put Kyle on the trading block because they don't want to deal with the Tebow thing. But it's not going to end until Tebow plays. The faster they get this Tebow thing over with, one way or another. And Lloyd actually went on to say, and he acknowledged that he would be pissed if Kyle Orton was traded. And those two had a great rapport last year to the tune of 77 catches for over 1,400 yards receiving and 11 touchdowns. That's a great rapport there. And you don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose that. Kyle Orton, again, he is in the final year of his contract. He is in the final year of his contract. But the reality is, with Orton there, and if Orton still is in Denver, Kyle Orton has to be your starter. There's no doubt about it. He has to be your starter. And if he's not, you're going to lose that locker room. You're obviously going to lose that locker room if your starter is not Kyle Orton on opening day. You're going to lose it. You're going to lose that locker room. That locker room will be lost. It would be lost. No doubt about it. It would be lost. And speaking of possibilities of losing locker rooms, the New York Jets, some will say Randy Moss would possibly go there. Some say that. But the New York Jets didn't Randy Moss, he retired. He retired. And, you know, the New York Jets was a team that many expected Randy to go to. But he retired. He called it quits, 13 seasons. Put up big-time numbers, obviously. 153 receiving touchdowns, second to Jerry Rice, big-time numbers. Fifth in receiving yards, big-time numbers, and a guy that got it done during these 13 seasons. Do I think Randy Moss truly is done? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Randy Moss still has some things in the tank, and there was a lot of talk about Randy Moss, his agent Joel Siegel, talking about the type of shape that Randy was in. Apparently Randy, according to his agent Joel Siegel, was in big-time shape. He was in big-time shape and ready to be on an NFL roster this season. That was the talk. That was the talk. But, again, apparently he wanted to be in New England. And according to reports, in going to New England, Bill Belichick only gave him an offer of 1 year. And then I guess he wanted to go in a different direction, and ultimately he traded for Chad Ochocinco and proceeded to give him a 3-year deal. So Randy Moss did not go to New England, and there was talk about the Jets, and that didn't really materialize at all. But say what you will about Randy Moss, say he's a guy with a bad temper, say a guy who's a little moody, say a guy who goes to a beat of a different drum, and say all those things about Randy Moss. But one thing you cannot say and cannot take away Randy Moss is that his numbers and his talent. I mean, his numbers speak for themselves, and on the surface, if you look at those numbers and you closed your eyes and you actually didn't see the name and you saw if you saw fifth in receiving yards, if you saw 153 touchdowns, if you saw all those things, eyes closed, not even knowing who it was, you would say that this guy, whoever that guy is a Hall of Famer. That's what you would say. That's what you would say. That's what you would have to say. You would have to say that this guy is a Hall of Famer. You wouldn't really have any choice but to say that. You wouldn't have a choice but to say it. But again, Randy Moss calls it quits on Mondays. Straight cash, homie, as he would like to say. But Randy Moss, again, he is a guy that, you know, many people say he's a man of his word. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So, I mean, if you look at it, Randy Moss is a guy that, when it's all said and done, should be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Probably won't because of his the way he treated the media and the way him and the media have clashed over the years. So he probably won't be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. But this guy is a Hall of Famer. And there were actually reports that Randy Moss, in post-retirement, was the Philadelphia Eagles offered him a contract and offered him an opportunity. Those reports, a lot of people have debunked those reports at this point. And according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, that the Eagles did not make Moss an offer, nor did they contact his agent. And Moss has filed his retirement papers. He has filed his retirement papers. But again, he could always say, you know, take those things back. He can always take them back. But at this point, it looks like Randy Moss is retired and wanted to come back to the Patriots. Actually, Moss recently visited the owner of the Patriots, Bob Kraft, to offer his condolences to the passing of Kraft's wife, Myra. But, again, at that point and at this point, it wasn't enough. It was not enough. And hopefully the Patriots went in a different direction, and that's the direction of Chad Ochocinco. And Chad Ochocinco is going to the New England Patriots. And you look at Chad Ochocinco, a guy, again, he has some things to prove. He has some things to prove. He has some things to prove. And you know, this is a good opportunity for Chad, in my opinion. A great opportunity, actually. This is a great opportunity. A great opportunity for Chad Ochocinco. A great opportunity. I mean, I tweeted Chad, actually, the other day. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. You're free at last, and he is free at last from Cincinnati, an organization that's been awful, god-awful over the years, so awful that Carson Palmer's walking away from a lot of money, and he doesn't even want to go back there. So that, in a lot of ways, that tells you all you need to know about the Cincinnati situation. And so you look at it, Chad Ochocinco now, he gets an opportunity to play for a winner. he gets an opportunity to play for a winner. And in doing so, he is going to New England. The no-nonsense New England Patriots, the team-oriented New England Patriots. Bill Belichick led New England Patriots. This team, if there's anybody that can keep Chad Ochocinco in check, it's Bill Belichick, it's Tom Brady. Those guys, if there's anybody that can keep Chad Ochocinco in check, it is Belichick, it is Brady, it is the New England Patriots. It's those guys. It's those guys. And so this is a great opportunity for the New England Patriots. And they've done it before. Corey Dillon, Randy Moss. They've done it before. They brought Randy. You remember Randy Moss came in and immediately paid dividends. Immediately paid dividends for the New England Patriots. Broke Jerry Rice's single-season record. Single-season record. 23 touchdown catches. A 16 and led the New England Patriots to a 16-0 regular season mark. So he came in from a bad situation in Oakland and revitalized his career to the tune of 23 touchdowns, to the tune of leading the New England Patriots and helped lead the New England Patriots to the Super Bowl that season. He was a guy there. Randy Moss blended in and did things the Patriots way. Will Chad Ochocinco do things the Patriots way? I mean, this is a great opportunity for this guy. You're not going to play for a better coach and a better quarterback than Brady and Belichick. You're not going to do it. Those guys, those type of coaches, those type of quarterbacks do not grow on trees. They just don't. They do grow in the stomachs of women, but they do not grow on trees. Flat out. These guys, those type of players, don't grow on trees. They don't do it. And one of the knocks on Chad has been his route running and running incorrect routes. That's going to have to change in New England if he wants to be successful. That has to change. That has to change, and I believe it will change. Excuse me. I expect a big season out of Chad Ochocinco. I think he's going to do things the Patriot way. He doesn't really have a choice. He does not really have a choice. It's blend in or get out. That's it. It's blend in or get out. And I think he's going to blend in because he doesn't want to get out. He still wants to play in this league and still play at a high level. And also, Chad Ochocinco, he likes attention. So if you don't put up numbers, if you don't do what you need to do, ultimately people are going to stop paying attention to you. People are going to stop tweeting you in big numbers, following you on Twitter in big numbers. People are going to stop these things. People are going to stop these things if you're not producing, because at that point, you become irrelevant in a lot of ways. People are going to stop. But if Ochocinco continues to put up the big numbers, continues to do what he has to do, and continues to play big-time football, people will pay attention, and people will care about his tweets and what he does. People are going to care about that. People are going to care about that. So, and then speaking of that, and speaking of attention, Albert Haynesworth, a guy who got a lot of attention last season, in New England, not New England, in Washington, for the things that he didn't do or did not want to do, like play nose tackle, playing the 3-4, practice on a regular basis, be a good teammate. Well, he has an opportunity now, a great opportunity with the New England Patriots. Like a Chad Ochocinco, he has a great opportunity here. A great, great opportunity. A great opportunity, and guess what? He passed his fitness test first time. So that's a good thing. Fitness test passed. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for him. A great opportunity to kind of prove some people wrong and to prove to the people, to the naysayers, to prove to everybody, guess what? I can still play in this league. I can still play at a high level in this league, and I still can get it done in this league. That's what he's telling the world. Well, that's the opportunity he has to tell the world and to show the world that he can play. And again, this is a guy, when motivated, as we saw in Tennessee a couple years back, when motivated, can put up some big-time numbers and can be just wreak a lot of havoc. He's that type of player. He's that type of guy. He's that guy. He can do all those things. The question becomes, will he be motivated to do so? And again, just like Chad Ochocinco, I say he will because he has to. He has to. If he wants to be relevant in this league, if he wants to stick around in this league, and he's made a lot of money in this league. That last contract, he made a whole heck of a lot of money. But if he wants to continue to make money, wants to continue to be relevant in this league, then in order for that to happen, he has to put up numbers in New England, and this is his last chance. And it's a very good chance and a very good opportunity. But again, we'll see what happens. And we'll see if Albert Haynesworth, if Chad Ochocinco and those boys can turn some things around this year. They have the opportunity. They have an opportunity, a great opportunity. And if they can get it done and play great football, it will help the New England Patriots go a long way and possibly help the New England Patriots to get back to the Super Bowl. It could do that. It could do that. If those two play some great football, if those two can live up to the potential they have shown over the years. If those two can do it, there's no doubt in my mind New England Patriots can get back to the Super Bowl. No doubt in my mind. I want to switch gears now. Charles Barkley actually came out against Tiger Woods, which is surprising, considering these two have been friends over the years. And, you know, Barkley and talking about Tiger Woods and Tiger Woods splitting from his longtime caddy, Steve Williams. Barkley said, and getting rid of Steve Williams, Barkley's quotes was, and he talked to Mike Lupica, ESPN New York 1050. Barkley stated that it's been very frustrating to watch everything that has transpired in talking about Tiger Woods. And getting rid of Steve Williams, who is his caddy, or was his caddy, was probably the last straw for me. Those were the words of Charles Barkley. And, you know, Charles went on to say, you think you're friends with a guy, and I haven't talked to Tiger Woods in 2 years. And I'm wondering what the hell is going on. Those were the words of Charles Barkley talking about the whole situation with Tiger Woods. He's trying to figure out what's going on with Tiger. And a lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on with Tiger. I mean, again, Barkley has not talked to this guy in 2 years, and you thought those guys were good friends. And Barkley went on to say, I'm sitting back like everyone else and saying, what the hell is going on? I just feel sad, to be honest with you. You're like, dude, who's around this guy? Who has his back? Who has his best interest? Who doesn't want anything from him? I don't know why we haven't talked to him in a couple years. And the whole situation with Steve Williams and Tiger was they did split. And in doing so and in splitting from each other, you know, Steve Williams and Tiger Woods were together for a very long time. They were together for a very, very long time. And Steve Williams said he waited around for Tiger, waited around him, and, you know, caught him by surprise that Tiger ended their relationship, their caddy relationship. So you look at it, and Tiger Woods is going in a totally different direction. Maybe this is maybe he's trying to jumpstart his career. Maybe he's trying to light a fire under himself, if you will. Maybe trying to change some things around him. Maybe if he can change some things around him and doing so, maybe he will be successful and ultimately, with having this success, ultimately make things happen for himself. Just maybe, he can do so and do that. But it's not looking good right now. You look at Tiger Woods, he is playing this week for the first time in a long time. And hopefully, if you're a Tiger Woods fan, he can get back to being and doing what Tiger has done throughout his career, and that's play some good golf. Has happened in a long time. Has not happened in a long time, and I'm not sure if it'll happen ever again. We may have saw the last of the great Tiger Woods. And the last of Tiger Woods being that great golfer. We all thought it was a foregone conclusion that Tiger Woods would catch Jack Nicklaus for the all-time record in majors. We thought it was a foregone conclusion. But right after, you know, he started having the injuries. His body seemed is breaking down on him, and, you know, he had the situation with his wife and all that, you know, all that drama. He had all that going on, and it affected Tiger Woods. Obviously, it affected him, and it has affected him for the last few years. Tiger Woods right now, you look at him, he's a guy that it's been a tough situation. It's been very tough for him. But ultimately, can Tiger Woods turn things around? I don't know. It's not looking good. It is not looking very good. But again, when it comes to greatness, sometimes we doubt greatness. We doubt people who are great. And ultimately, they come back and show us that they truly are still great. They truly can still get it done at the highest of levels. We'll see if that's the case with Tiger Woods going forward. We'll see. We shall see. But, only time will tell. And it's surprising to hear Charles Barkley come out against Tiger Woods. It's very surprising. I want to switch gears now again to the NBA. And Kevin Durant at Rucker Park put on a shooting clinic. 66 big points at Rucker Park. Just hitting threes left, right, side to side. Just making it, just killing it. And, you know, I mean, obviously, street ball, guys are out there, guys are going to score. You're going to score the basketball a lot. You're going to score a lot of points. It's just the nature of the situation, just the nature of the type of game out there. Guys are going to put up big-time numbers. That's just the way street ball is. Guys putting big-time numbers up. And you look at it. Kevin Durant put up some big-time numbers. And I just saw him shoot threes. I didn't see him getting to the lane a lot. I just saw threes. Threes left, threes right. raised top of the key. I just saw the guys just shooting threes and just getting buckets. Getting buckets. And that's what Tiger, and that's not Tiger Woods, that's what Kevin Durant did. He got buckets. Lots of buckets. Lots of buckets. But it might be a little diminished now because John Lucas the third has 60 points at Rucker Park. So John Lucas the third, a guy that, you know, in 2010-2011 season only averaged 1 point a game, is a career 3 points a game, has a career 3 points a game average. So Kevin Durant, I was impressed initially, but the luster has kind of been taken off of that performance, especially after John Lucas III dropped 60 there. I mean, the luster goes off a little bit. A little bit. I mean, 60 points by John Lucas III. A career 3 points a game scorer in the NBA. That's what John Lucas is. A career 3 points a game scorer. So if John Lucas can get 60 at Rucker, a lot of other people probably could get 60 at Rucker Park. Not to diminish the quality of play, but it's probably not, it's not NBA quality of play. It's not NBA quality of play. But 60 points, I was impressed by 66 from Kevin Durant. I was impressed. But again, initially I was impressed. But when I see a career 3-point score, a guy who's averaged only 3 points a game in his career and has a career average of 3 points a game, a guy with a career average of 3 points a game scored 60 at Rucker. That diminishes a little bit what Kevin Durant did. That diminishes it a little bit. A little bit. Just a little bit. But again, 66 points is impressive. But it is diminished a little bit by John Lucas III. A guy, again, who's only averaged 3 points a game throughout his career. That's his career average, 3 points a game. It kind of diminishes what Kevin Durant did. It has to. It just has to. It diminishes it. And so, give Kevin Durant a lot of credit. 66 points is 66 points. But, I mean, 66 points is not a lot. But John Lucas III gets 60. So that diminishes what Kevin Durant did just a little bit. Just a little bit. And, you know, a lot of NBA guys go out to Rucker Park in the summertime, play some street ball. I mean, it's world famous. It's world renowned. A lot of people, great players have played there. Dr. J over the years has played there. Kobe Bryant has been there. I mean, a lot. AI, Allen Iverson, has been there. A lot of guys have been there at Rucker Park. A lot of guys have done it. A lot of guys have done it there at Rucker. So it's definitely a world-renowned situation. And so you look at it, it's almost an honor for any player to play at the great Rucker Park in Harlem, New York City, Harlem World. But again, Kevin Durant, I was impressed, but not as impressed after what I saw John Lucas do. Not as impressed. John Lucas III, excuse me. Not as impressed. Not as impressed. Maybe I can go to Rucker Park and put some, you know, get some buckets. Maybe I can go to Rucker and get some buckets. I don't know if I can get 66 points. Maybe I can get 20. Maybe I can get 20 at Rucker Park. Maybe. Maybe. Hopefully. But again, Kevin Durant, big-time numbers, Rucker Park, and the lockup NBA style is going on. And no end in sight at this point. It could be a long, long situation. It could be a very long situation. And your hope. You wish that it would never come to this point, but it has. And the reality is it could be a long time. The union, the league, not happy with one another right now. The league filing unfair labor practices against the union. The union talking about decertifying. No end in sight. They are meeting. But this could go on for a very long time. Games actually could be missed here in the NBA, and that would be a sad situation if games are missed, especially for a league that has really been on the come up and had a great, 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 great playoff and a great regular season. But they got to work this thing out. And unfortunately, I don't see an end in sight anytime soon. The second hour go forward starts right now. The final half hour of Go For It starts right now, and in this last half hour, we're going to be joined by actor Carlos Ramirez. Carlos actually is the twin brother of Efren Ramirez, and if you remember Efren Ramirez, he played Pedro on Napoleon Dynamite, big-time movie. A lot of people love that movie. It's the movie that goes down in the history. A lot of people love it. A lot of people love Napoleon Dynamite. And Carlos is going to talk about that movie, and Carlos is going to talk about how it feels to be a twin and be a twin with Efren and how difficult it can be for him and how sometimes he gets mistaken as Efren and as Pedro, the world-famous Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. So that can be a little tricky. I mean, when you have twins and, you have that rivalry that twins tend to have, that sibling rivalry that they have with one another. And so Carlos is going to talk about all those things, and he's a funny guy, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. We like to have a lot of fun on this show. We're going to have fun with Carlos when he joins us, and Carlos will be joining us shortly. And Carlos is a kind of interesting guy, a funny guy, and he's going to be joining us very shortly. And, again, Carlos is a twin brother of Efren Ramirez, and Efren, again, the world-famous Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Great movie, a funny movie, and a movie that a lot of people love. A lot of people love that movie. A lot of people love Napoleon Dynamite. And to be honest with you, it's a movie that I recently saw for the first time a few months back. A movie that I saw for the first time a few months back. And it's a movie that, interesting, funny. It's all those things. You can see why it's a cult classic. You can definitely see why people love Napoleon Dynamite. You can definitely see, and it's a funny movie. It truly is a funny movie, and a lot of people love Napoleon Dynamite. And after watching it, I can see why I love it as well. And again, Carlos is going to talk about that movie, talk about what's up with him now, and what he has lined up going forward. And so Carlos Ramirez will be joining us, actor Carlos Ramirez will be joining us very, very shortly, and he's going to talk about those things and see what's going on with him at this point. And I talked about the NBA, and I talked about the lockout and everything. And you're seeing the exodus now. You're seeing the exodus of players going overseas. Jordan Farmar signs with an Israeli team. Trey Johnson signs with a team in Italy. And he does not have an opt-out, so he's going to be there for the year more than likely. So you have that situation where players are starting to go overseas. Now, Trey Johnson and Jordan Farmar, those guys going overseas is not going to shake you on any level. They're not going to shake you on any level. But guys like Darren Williams start to shake you. Kobe Bryant, that'll start to shake you. It's been talked, he could go to Turkey, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And I never seen that happen. I did not expect that to happen at all. And I would have been shocked if that would have happened. That's not going to happen ever. I don't see that happening. You know, Dwight Howard talked about playing in China. But again, every time I bring this up, I say the same thing, and I got to repeat it one more time. It ain't happening, folks. To me, it's all about leverage. It's all about saying, it's all about, you know, trying to get one over and trying to tell the league, you know what, you better settle and you better get this done. And you better get it done fast or we're leaving. These stars of the NBA, Dwight Howard, to Kobe Bryant of the world. You know, if those guys start going over, the league is going to have to think about some things. It's going to have to think about getting this thing done, getting this thing settled. They're going to have to think about that. But again, I don't view it as a situation or a problem that the league is going to have to worry about. I don't see this happen. I don't see this happen. I don't see a mass exodus of NBA stars going overseas. I don't see it happening. And I would be absolutely, positively shocked if Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, I would almost bet $10,000 to a dime that this will not happen. I would give you the deed to my home. I would hand over the deed to my home if this would happen. I mean, I would give it all up if this was going to happen. I would bet it all. I would bet it all that this will not happen. All of it. I'll bet it all. All of it. Give you all of it. Might not be a lot, but it's something. Might not be a lot, but it's something. I would give it all to you if this happened. If Dwight Howard suits up in China. If Kobe Bryant suits up in Turkey. I would be absolutely, positively, flat out shocked, stunned. I might even have a heart attack if that happened. That's how shocked I would be if that would happen. It ain't happening, folks. It's not going to happen. And don't get underwear in a bunch. It's not going to happen. It's not. It's not going to happen. But we'll see moving forward. We'll see if anybody else decides to take it overseas, decides that they want to be play in Turkey, play in China, decide they want to play in Italy, decide they want to play in France, Spain. We'll see. We'll see. I don't see it happening, but we'll have to see. Time tends to be the judge of everything, and we got to let time run its course and see if that happens, see if those things do happen. I don't see it happening, though, folks. I do not see it happening whatsoever. It ain't going to happen. And I'll be shocked, absolutely shocked. I think I will walk butt naked from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to New York City if Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard sign contracts to go overseas. I will walk, mark it down, I will walk butt naked from Philadelphia's 30th Street Station to New York City's Times Square if that were to happen, if Dwight Howard, if Kobe Bryant were to sign contracts to head overseas. Shocked. Absolutely shocked. Absolutely, positively shocked. So that means it won't happen. That means it won't happen. That means it will not happen, and I don't think it will happen whatsoever. I don't think it will happen at all. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com/peekin.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pitcherik on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it.
Thank you, sir.
You got it, brother. Have a okay.
Corey Live. He gets it. We getting it all the time on Go For It. blogtalkradio.com/pgan. We get it done. We have a good time. We talk sports. We have fun doing it. And that's what we do week in, week out, day in, day out. Talk sports. Have fun doing it. Corey Live, thanks for the love, brother. Thanks for the love, brother. Thanks for the love. Go For It, baby. blogtalkradio.com/pgan. Again, make sure you follow this show on Twitter at Go For It Gant. Let's get our follows up. We want to get our followings up. We want to get our followers up. And so make sure you come hit us up on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We follow back. And let's have a good old time talking sports and having fun doing it, because we all love to do that. And that's talk sports. And that's have fun doing it. And that's what we do here, man, week in, week out. A lot of fun doing it, man. I love bringing it to you guys week in and week out. A whole heck of a lot of fun. A whole heck of a lot of fun talking sports and having a whole heck of a lot of fun doing it. That's what we do here. Go For It. blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And sad news coming out of the NFL. Former NFL player turned actor Bubba Smith died today. Bubba was 66 years old, and we remember Bubba from his days at Michigan State and his days with the Baltimore Colts. And we also remember Bubba from the things that he did as an actor. I mean, Bubba was a guy. He was a guy on Police Academy, and a lot of fun. I mean, he was a lot of fun to see him on Police Academy. He was, a great actor. A great actor, and at this point, there does not seem to be a cause of death at this point with Bubba. But hopefully it's nothing, no foul play or anything of that nature. But Bubba Smith, 66, 6'7", Bubba Smith. He won the Super Bowl with the Colts back in 1971. He's one of the more feared guys in the game. I mean, you would have no choice but to fear a guy who was 6'7". I mean, 6'7". 6'7", Bubba Smith. You would have to fear the guy. And he's so big. He is so big. But Bubba Smith died today at the age of 66. And again, we wish Bubba Smith and his family, we wish his family, give his family our condolences. And sad story, Bubba Smith, again, dead at the age of 66 years old. Bubba Smith, and again, the Police Academy series, a lot of people, more, especially younger people, remember him more for Police Academy than for what he did as an NFL football player. A lot of people remember him more for that. But, you know, he was a good actor and a better football player. Bubba Smith, dead at the age of 66. And I want to switch gears now. And this is a thing that could be happening a lot in the NFL. I mean, Bryant McKinney, left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, was cut yesterday. And one of the reasons that Bryant McKinney was cut is because Bryant McKinney apparently reported to camp 400 pounds. He was 400 pounds as he reported to camp. And a lot of people figure this may happen. A lot of people figure a lot of guys may have this issue. A lot of guys may be a little out of shape coming into camp because of the lockout, because of not having the structure of the OTA, because of not having the structure of the mini camps. A lot of people expected this to happen and saw this happening with some players. And Bryant McKinney, you know, he fell in love. He was one of those guys. He was one of those guys that was a little out of shape. A lot of out of shape. And, you know, Minnesota, I mean, Bryant McKinney, a guy with a lot of talent, a lot of ability. But you can't report to training camp 400 pounds. You can't report to training camp at 400 pounds. You just can't do it. And Jared Allen, one of his teammates, his ex-teammates, had this to say, my philosophy is this is my job, this is my livelihood. You got to assume the lockout is going to be done at some point. So it's your job to stay in shape. Everybody can find a gym, and apparently, instead of finding a gym, Bryant McKinney found a buffet or two, and in finding a buffet or two, this caused him to be out of shape, and this caused him to be 400-plus pounds, according to some reports. 400 pounds. My goodness, that is a big man. That is a big man. A big man. But he's a man with a lot of ability. And he may catch on with a team maybe later in the season, or maybe even the start of the season somewhere, or maybe a team maybe a guy that, you know, maybe a guy that, you know, if you look at it, it's just a tough situation. Tough situation for Bryant McKinney. Tough situation for the Minnesota Vikings, but ultimately you have to do what you have to do. You have to do what you have to do. And doing what you have to do means cutting this man and sending him on his way. But again, apparently his weight did balloon throughout last season, near the end of the season, and ballooning, his play kind of declined near the end of the season, and the Vikings decided they wanted to go in a different direction, and in going in a different direction, that meant sending Bryant McKinney on his way and packing. And then I saw Bryant McKinney a lot on Twitter, and it seemed to be pretty heavy in the recording industry. Also seems to be pretty heavy, and in doing so, you know, could have all that extra time, could have been extra parties, and, you know, a lot of good extra times for Bryant McKinney. And so that caused him trouble, that caused him problems, and ultimately that caused him his spot as starting left tackle and as a player on the Minnesota Vikings roster. But again, I think another team will take a chance on this guy. This guy has a lot of talent and a lot of ability, and maybe don't wait, put him on a PUP list, wait till he gets in shape, a little more in shape, and then try him out on the field. That probably would be in the best interest of a ball club, especially a ball club who is in need of an offensive lineman. In need of an offensive lineman. And again, left tackles, very good left tackles, don't grow on trees. So that would be a great opportunity for a ball club. Again, he won't pay dividends right away, but if he can get himself into some shape, get his body right, and get himself focused on playing football, then it may be a good pick for a ball club and a good opportunity for a ball club. Maybe. But again, you saw this with the NBA lockout many years ago. We had guys like Sean Kemp who got himself seriously out of shape and never was the same. Vin Baker guy got himself seriously out of shape, never was the same. I mean, those guys were some big-time NBA players. Got caught up. And in getting caught up, it cost them. And it cost them their career going forward. Sean Kemp was never the same. Vin Baker was never the same. Will the same be said about Brian McKinney? Only time will tell. Will Brian McKinney ever be the same? Will he be the same player? You hope so. You hope he gets it right, and you know, hopefully he will continue possibly to get himself in shape at some point and get himself right. But you knew this was going to happen. You knew that guys were going to get caught up. You knew that guys were going to get themselves out of shape. You knew it. Because the reality is, if you don't have that structure that is provided by OTAs, the structure that is provided by minicamps, that structure of you know, being around the facilities and having someone kind of check up on you, kind of have someone see if everything is going right with you, have someone see if you're still keeping yourself in shape and you're doing the necessary things to stay in shape. Those are big. And if you look at a big guy like that, it's probably not very hard to get yourself out of shape. Because you always want to stay a certain size. You always want to be big. You want to be big. But again, you want to be 400 pounds big. You don't want to be 400 pounds big. That's what you don't want to be. And unfortunately, again, that's what happened to Brian McKinney. He was 400 pounds big and woefully out of shape. And Minnesota Vikings, Leslie Frazier, head coach, and the rest of the staff decided that it was time to move him on. And so, again, I'll say it again. If I'm a team, I take a chance on this guy. I'm not going to give him big-time money, obviously, but I'm going to give him an opportunity to get his body right. And if he gets his body right and if he gets motivated, you know, he's a guy that can play the position and play it very well. Left tackles are at a premium. They are at a premium. And so having a guy like Brian McKinney on your roster is an upgrade if he can get himself right and get himself in shape. That is an upgrade. And also, switching gears now, I want to go to the New York Giants, and I want to go to the situation with OC Uniure. Apparently, the New York Giants, they allowed OC and his agent to seek a trade and to seek out trade partners. And the Giants wanted a first-round draft pick. That's what they wanted. But now, at this point, the Giants have said that no. We're not going to allow you to do that. We are not going to allow you to do that now. We're not going to let you do that now. No more. So, at this point, maybe it's looking like maybe the Giants and Uniure they can come together on something. I mean, OC believes that he has outplayed his contract. He has 2 years left on his deal worth $8 million. He has 2 years left, $8 million on his contract. And so can they get this thing worked out? I mean, OC Uniure had a very good year in 2010, 11.5 sacks, 10 forced fumbles, and played a great season for the New York Giants, a very good season. So OCU Manure, we'll see what happens going forward there. But the Giants at this point have said, you know what, we're not going to allow you to seek out a trade. So we'll see what happens with this whole situation. But if I'm the New York Giants, I will try to get this thing worked out with OCU Manure. We're now going to be joined by actor Mr. Carlos Ramirez. Carlos, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm living large here in Los Angeles.
And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I wish I was out in Los Angeles with you living large.
Well, you know, living in L.A. is a great thing because everybody wants to move to L.A., but nobody wants to do the work.
That's a great point. That's a very great point. And I'm glad you clarified that for a lot of us. And Carlos, you are the twin brother of Efren Ramirez of Napoleon Dynamite fame. First off, how did the Ramirez boys get into acting?
Oh, gosh. Well, it started like many decades ago. We were discovered by Robert Blake, the guy who did Beretta back in the day. And, Yeah. So they wanted twins in their TV show called Helltown. And think about it, two young kids in L.A., of course, we're hellions. So they wanted twins for the show. We said, all right. And one thing led to another, and we just kept on doing our acting careers. But there was a big, huge shift when I joined the military, and my twin brother continued his acting career in L.A.
Wow. And Carlos, or should I say Efren, or should I say Pedro? I don't know what to call you sometimes, Carlos. I look at you, I look at Efren. I see you guys. You guys look the same. But has that been difficult for you? Obviously, you're not Pedro. Obviously, you're not Efren. But has that been difficult for you? Many people pointing you out and saying you are Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
You know, that's the story of my life. I think I'm almost done with my book that's titled I'm Not Pedro. You know what I mean? It's all fun and games in the first 3 years after that movie took its launch in 2004, 2005. You know, sure, I got free stuff. I had access to go to anywhere I wanted to go to. Met people like Paris Hilton and went to the Academy Awards, for crying out loud. That's awesome. But then all of a sudden, it dwindles down because you lose your own identity. And
right.
All of a sudden, I'm getting slapped in the face in a nightclub by some chick I never met. And she says, he never calls me the next day. What? You know what I'm saying?
But that's, I mean, let's look at it from a chick's angle, from a chick's point of view. In terms of being known as Pedro, that had to help in terms of the chicks. I mean, chicks dig Pedro.
Yeah, that is true. Absolutely. Like I said, the first 2 or 3 years, it was the limelight. It was the height of the life. You can go to any club in New York, any club in L.A., Miami. That's fine. But then that stuff gets old. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, when people are walking down the street, they go, I voted for you, Pablo. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's Pedro. And that's not even me. That's my twin. That's my twin brother. So, and his name's Efren. So I'm like, what? Like, and I'm thinking to myself, why do I got to correct all these fools about identity when I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I should just go back to school and do the work and study my butt off in the craft. Because, well, you know, if I do have a window of opportunity, then take that and go back into the acting field. Because rest assured, there's no place in this planet I can walk around and say, hey, folks, no, really, I'm the twin. We still want a picture of you. Really? Thanks. That's $10. Might as well stand in front of Man's Chinese Theater next to Superman and say, hey, $10, right?
And is there any kind of sibling rivalry between you and Efren?
I let's just say that he has his team on one side, and I got my two people on my side and my girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he has his, not an entourage, but his full fleet of people, which was 30 or so. And that's all gravy. That's great, you know. But all I need is three people representing me and helping me out and giving me the love and support that I need. He has $1 million. I like my bank account saying zero for right now.
We're talking to Carlos Ramirez, actor. And Carlos, how does a guy like you, you talked about working and honing your craft, but other than that, how does a guy like you separate himself from his twin brother?
Well, you know, it took a long time to really get to that. What I did was I started going back to acting school, and I started doing my own projects. And now I'm working with David Bianchi, and I'm working on a film called Dysfunction right now, and we're trying to raise money for that so I can have my own leading film where people will see the difference between his work and my work.
Right.
But it's tough, especially when I go into casting auditions and they go, can you do Pedro? Thanks for inviting me. Thanks, but I'm walking out, you know? But,
And you talked about, I mean, you talked about Efren getting in the Napoleon Dynamite role. And you talked about yourself going to the military. When you saw that happen for Efren, did you kind of regret that decision?
Well, you know what? When my brother made that decision, I was already out of the military. I did 8 years there. And when I was going to college in Tennessee, people were walking into my classroom and they were saying, it's that guy. That's him. What is he doing in Tennessee? I was like, well, you know what? I think it's time to go home. As soon as I got home, I thought, and I was so proud of my brother for doing the work that he has continued to do for so long. But of course he merits all this, whatever it is that's coming to him at this time. But at the same time, I'm saying, you know what? There's also the idea that I am your identical twin, and it imposes a problem for me. Because everywhere I go, people think, him. Everywhere I go, I mean, every single day for the past 5 years, there has not been one individual who just mistakenly for my twin brother. And today, it's right here. I hear it. But of course, because that's how it is. That's how it is.
And that is your life to this point. But it will change. Keep your head up. Keep your mind right. It will change. And Carlos, you spent some time in the military, excuse me. You served in Operation Desert Storm. Much respect for that. But how was the military for you?
Difficult, because I served in 1991 back in the Gulf War. And what a difference it makes to really get out of the zoo of Los Angeles into the chaos of the real world, like war. And it wasn't easy. It was extremely difficult because you're dealing with chemical warfare. And eventually it led me to the other war, which is on Bosnia back in 96 to 1998 in the Clinton administration. And I said about that time frame, you know what, it's time for me to get out. But 8 years in the U.S. Air Force.
It's a long time. And I was reading where your brother Efren, he bought a house with his Napoleon Dynamite check for your parents. What did you do for your parents with your first military check?
With my first military check?
Yeah.
I sent my mom and dad a birthday card and I said, thank you very much.
No, that's a very nice gesture.
As far as my brother buying a house for my parents, I don't know. But I know that I would do the same had I had that income. But one day will come where I'll be able to give them a mansion that's under their name.
And I believe you. And you actually played opposite Michael Lohan, the father of Lindsay Lohan. Talk about that.
Oh, those are my beginning days. Yeah, I think that was my fourth or fifth project. I was done with Jackie Watson. And by that time frame, it's funny because a month prior to working on that project, my brother and I were with Lindsay Lohan in Malibu. It was the same night she got busted. And I was talking to her. Yeah, right? We told her, don't go. She went anyway. Yeah. Substances, terrible thing. But Michael Lohan, I guess he's a great guy in his own right. But you know what I find strange? I find strange that every time I spoke about his daughter to him, he just blew it right out of the water and just went off to a different subject. And I'm thinking, if this guy is so concerned, well, why not talk to people that know his daughter? But I guess right. Everybody seeks fame in their own right, I guess. And sometimes fame consumes you. And I went down that path. Like I said, the first 2 years being here in L.A., I had the chance to travel around the country and even in Canada. But I said to myself, well, why am I doing this? It's granted, I get to go with any girl I want. I get free dinners. But what is that? What is the payoff in that? And so it hasn't been for the past 2 years. I have a wonderful girlfriend who supports me. And I've been going to acting schools. And now I have legitimate projects that are up in the making. And it's a good thing. They will be coming out next year. But at the same time, I'm having that opportunity to do things on my own, in my own path, without the identity of Pedro. Unless I step out in the public. And, of course, you're going to have that one drunk guy. Hey, it's you. I saw you in your cartoon. Ugh.
We're talking to Carlos Ramirez, actor. And, Carlos, you talked about some of your projects coming out. You talked about the one project that you have. Do you have another coming out?
Yes, I do have another one coming out. It's going to be called Brass Knuckles. And okay. I'll be working with, it's about mafia and underground fighting in Los Angeles. So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know if I'm going to be one of the fighters because I know I'll just get beaten up, but we'll see how that goes. But I'm excited because I get to work with Danny Trejo and Jacob Vargas, so I'm pretty happy about that. And, of course, that comes out next year. And then I'm praying that I get this other film called Coyote, but I'll find out at the end of this week.
And you also have added dancing to your repertoire. Talk about that.
Okay, let me just talk about that part. That is the big difference between me and my twin. I grew up as a b-boy here in L.A. So somebody talks about the radio, the stereo, you bring them out, they talk about the old school music of hip-hop, where it really came from, when it's brought in from Chicago to L.A., and you have people b-boying out in the streets. I know that scene. So I did that for about a good 20 years. And eventually, while stationed in England, I had the chance to dance at this club called the Ministry of Sound, dancing for Boy George. But when it comes to doing breakdancing, well, that's the story of my life. I think that's one of my best hobbies next to acting.
And, you know, maybe you need to try to appear in, like, rap videos or various videos dancing.
Well, you know, I'd love to do that, but of course, if I start doing videos or hip hop videos out here in LA, you're gonna have that one guy saying, "Man, I just saw Pedro do a headstand." Ah, you know what I mean?
Well, at least it's recognition. It's better than no recognition, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I did 3 years ago or 2 years ago. I did this video with Miley Cyrus. It was for her thing that she was doing with her Eminem crew, and I just did a snippet, doing some b-boy moves, and all of a sudden it went viral. Everyone said, "Well, you know what, Pedro can dance," and it went to my brother's manager, and I got yelled at because of saying that I didn't display my name, that I am Carlos Ramirez. I'm like, for crying out loud, should I walk around with a t-shirt that says, "No, I'm not Pedro, I'm his twin, and my name is Carlos"? What? Yeah, right.
And what about another guy who was in Napoleon Dynamite, John Heder? I mean, did his twin get the same type of treatment?
Not at all. I think he's fatter. That's why. He's not involved in the acting scene. I think he's a graphic designer. So I'm sure, you know, he's probably in Utah somewhere. I don't know. Yeah, they are twins. And I'd say the same thing for the Olsen twins, but they're always together supporting one another. Here, well, I'm on my own, right?
And Carlos, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you two topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
I'm in.
Better looking, Carlos Ramirez or Efren Ramirez?
Carlos Ramirez.
It's close. It's very close. Better actor, Efren Ramirez or Carlos Ramirez?
I would answer that question, but I need my lawyer present.
Better twins, the Olsons or the Ramirez?
Oh, hands down, the Ramirez's, man. Come on.
Better movie, Napoleon Dynamite or La Bamba?
La Bamba, are you kidding me? Come on.
And last, but not least, better dancer, J-Lo Jennifer Lopez or the great Carlos Ramirez?
The great Carlos Ramirez.
Well, Carlos, you played the game and you played it very, very well.
But rest assured, now that she's single, I would dance with her any day.
Well, maybe, Carlos, once you get a couple of these projects off the ground, J-Lo may go for you.
Yeah, maybe go to New York and get on the stick.
Now, Carlos, where can we find information about you and some of your projects?
Well, if you go to IMDb.com, which is the International Movie Database, where all the actors are listed, just type in Carlos Ramirez, and you will see my information pop up. And it'll show
and
that
my name is on there.
Do I have a Twitter? No, not yet, because the fact that so many people will say, I found Pedro on Twitter. So I said, you know what? Not yet.
Maybe in a year or two, once these projects get going and all these great things start to happen for Carlos Ramirez.
That's right.
If you believe it, you can achieve it.
That's right.
Carlos, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. Good luck with these upcoming projects. Good luck with all you do, man. And ultimately, when it's all said and done, Carlos Ramirez will be separated from Efren Ramirez. Correct?
That's absolutely correct. Thank you guys so much. You guys have a great time.
Carlos, take care, sir.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. Carlos Ramirez, actor, brother of Efren Ramirez. Carlos has some great projects coming up. Make sure you support that so he can be separated from his brother. It's got to be a tough thing being a twin. So hopefully Carlos can be separated from Efren. And that's our show for today. We want to thank Carlos Ramirez for stopping by. Make sure you check him out at imdb.com. And make sure you listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Go For It Gant. For everybody here at Go For It, have a great night. See you later. Bye.